Hi, welcome to VLectures. We are on chapter 17 on the banker's rights. In the last chapter, we saw the banker's obligations. In this chapter, we are going to see the banker's rights. Is there a difference between an obligation and a right? Obligation, by default, comes with the terms and conditions. Similarly, rights also comes with the terms and conditions. Obligations are more towards fulfilling certain terms and conditions towards the customers, whereas rights are more towards protecting the interest of the bankers, and these rights can be in the form of setting off different accounts of the customer towards recovery of a debit balance. It can be in the form of general lien on the goods deposited with the bank for exercising certain recovery rights. It can be taking certain reasonable time for collection of amounts, which can be collection on checks or collection on bills, wherein the customer may be in a great hurry. But finally, if banker has a clear-cut right by which he can take a reasonable time for collecting such money, then he will get some protection, and the customer would also be clear that such minimum reasonable time has to be given to a banker, because it is his basic right without which he won't be able to function. So friends, in this chapter we are going to see more on the banker's rights vis-a-vis their customers. We are going to take help of the standard provisions of rights that comes from the terms and conditions, as well as certain rights explicitly mentioned by various court cases, wherein various scenarios were analyzed and examined, and based on which the court has decided whether a bank has a particular right or not. So let's begin with, from where does the banker's rights originate? The relationship between the banker and the customer can be said to be a contractual one, because without contract there cannot be any relationship established, because all banking transactions are legal transactions. Execution of legal transaction requires a contractual relationship. The contract specifies the banker's rights and the customer's rights too. The same thing we have seen, the obligations of the banker as well as the obligations of the customers are clearly mentioned in the terms and conditions. Likewise, the rights of the customer and the rights of the bankers are also explicitly mentioned in the terms and conditions of whatever agreement you execute, whether it is an account opening form for deposits or a loan agreement for taking loans. Let's examine the first right of a banker to combine accounts. A banker can combine several accounts kept by a customer in his own right, which means a customer has different single accounts in his own name, not in a joint name, unless by agreement earmarking course of business, etc., he is under obligation to keep them separate. If an account is specifically opened for a specific purpose and which cannot be combined for setting off different debit and credit balances, then such accounts may not be able to use because it has specific condition laid for opening such account. Otherwise, a banker can combine several accounts kept by a customer in his own right. In order to avoid the trouble due to after effects of combining and closing accounts, a banker takes a letter of set off from a customer who opens in the same capacity more than one account. So whenever a customer wants to open more than one account in his own name, a banker always takes a letter of set off to use the right of combining accounts in case of any eventuality, and to avoid any trouble or hassles after this activity of combining accounts, a banker protects itself by taking a letter of set off and do the action for combining of accounts. We have a very famous case in the form of Halesowen Presswork and Assemblies versus Westminster Bank Limited. In this case, the court held that a bank is not entitled to combine two accounts if there was an arrangement with its customer at the time of opening of accounts to keep the account separate for a period, unless the bank has given notice to determine the arrangement of the reason of specific circumstances. So on what basis did the court say the banker had no right to combine? Number one reason, that the account was to be kept separate for a period, and if at all any combination has to be done, it was obligatory on the part of the bank to give notice to determine the arrangement by reason of specific circumstances. As the bank had taken no steps to do so, the account had to be kept separate. So as we had seen in the previous slide, in general, the bank will have a right of combining accounts, but in specific cases where the accounts are to be kept separate or requires a specific notice, then such formalities have to be completed, else the banker will not get the right to combine such accounts. In Radha Raman Chowdhury versus Chota Nagpur Banking Association Limited, it was held, although bankers have a right to combine one or more accounts of the same customer, the banker cannot combine a customer's personal account with a joint account. So here the objection of combining a personal account with a joint account, because both are open in different capacities. So that requires no explanation, wherein the basic requirement of combining two accounts is all the accounts that needs to be combined should be in the same capacity of a customer, that is single accounts only. The right to combine two or more accounts is applicable to existing debts from the customer and not to contingent debts or the liabilities falling due at a future date. A banker cannot say that future you will have debts with us, so let me combine account and keep it for recording those future debts. That's not possible. Which means a banker has a right to combine two or more accounts only for the existing debts. Can a customer combine two accounts on himself? No. This rights are not provided to the customer. A customer has no right to combine accounts. A customer has no right to treat two accounts as one or combine them. Even if the combined accounts are in the same branch, he cannot draw a check on one with insufficient balance and presume that a banker will debit the check of one account to some other account of his own capacity. Customer cannot presume that way. A banker will pass a check issued on a particular account only, even if there is a sufficient balance of the same customer in another account. In State Bank of India versus Vatisamba Murthy, the Orissa court held that for withdrawal of money from an account, a check relating to that account should be used. You cannot use a check of another account to withdraw balance from a particular account. You have to use a check issued for the same account. Check of one account cannot be used in respect of another account, even though the same person may be having two accounts. And Mohammad Hussain Saheb versus Chartered Bank. It was held that a customer has no right to draw at a branch against his funds at some other branch. This we have already seen in the last chapter of banking obligations. But the bank has a right to combine different accounts unless there is an express or implied agreement to keep the account separate. So, time and again, case after case, we are getting a clear evidence that the courts have also accepted this basic right of a banker to combine two or more accounts of a same customer. Hyderabad Commercials versus Indian Bank and another. The bank had transferred rupees 13 lakhs from the account of the petitioner to another unauthorizedly. The bank agreed to rectify this by recrediting the amount to the right customer's account, but did not. Later on, pleading that, what did the bank plead? That amount was transferred on the oral instructions of the customer. The safest way, without proving any evidence. The court did not allow that. The court held that the bank was under a legal obligation to pay back the disputed amount to the customer, and hence the bank was liable, and any such fabrication that the transfer was made on the oral instructions was totally rejected. Rana Raman Chowdhury versus Chota Nagpur Banking Association. A customer may have many accounts in a bank. You can have many accounts, there is no restriction on that. Under Section 171 of the Indian Contract Act 1872, these constitute but one account. The banker can, under his right of lien, we are going to see what exactly the lien is in the next slides. The banker can, under his right of lien, attach the money if it is earmarked. If the account are not earmarked, then the bank has no lien. But the banker will have the right of set off. So for exercising a general lien, an earmarking is necessary, even for a particular lien. Whereas, if you fail to exercise the right of lien, the banker will always have a right of set off. Banker must be given reasonable time to credit the checks deposited before they are drawn upon. When a customer deposits a check into his account, the bank, as his agent, has to present the check and get the funds. Bank cannot pay the customer from his own pocket. It has to get the funds from the paying bank, and only after that it will be able to pay to its customers. And this takes time, sometimes a few days. A banker is not bound to credit the customer's account until the checks have been realized. A banker must place the proceeds of the check realized to the credit of the customer's account within a reasonable time. If it's a clearing, maybe 3 days. If it is outstation checks, then you have specific time norms of 7 days, 10 days based on the location where the check is sent for realization. Permit customers to draw against unclear checks. This is one of the banker's important right to accommodate a customer. Sometimes the bankers permit customers to draw against unclear checks. That is facility given to some of their customers. The check may be of some importance. It may be for some medical payments. It may be from some insurance payments. It may be for payment of some school fees. It may be some payment of some court fees. So if at all such check is dishonored, a serious loss may be faced by the customer. So in consultation, in coordination with the customer, a banker may sometimes decide to pay the check provided the customer takes care to pay back the money at the earliest. It is, however, not a right of a customer but a discretion of the bank, and the banker can, if he wants to, send checks drawn on him back with the remark, effects not cleared. So based on the relationship of the bank with the customer, based on the importance of the check issued, the banker has a right to decide whether to pay the check or to reject the check. Payment of domiciled bills. In the absence of an agreement, the banker is not bound to honor bills accepted by his customer and made payable by the banker. So there has to be an agreement for payment of such domiciled bills. Now we come to a very important right of a banker, which is called the banker's general lien. Lien generally means right of a creditor to retain the goods and securities owned by the debtor until the debt has been discharged. So this specifically comes when the bank is a creditor, which means the bank has given a loan and the customer has taken a loan, so the customer becomes a debtor. The right of lien is a right enjoyed by the banker, and this is different from particular lien. So we are having two types of lien. One is a general lien and the second one is the particular lien. A general lien enables the bank to retain all the general goods and securities owned by the debtor but in his possession, whereas in a particular lien there is a specific authority to retain only certain goods. This is different from the particular lien, which is a lien the craftsman has on goods on which he has expended labor, time or money. So what does a particular lien do? Particular lien gives him the right to retain the goods till he has been paid. For example, if a tailor has stitched a suit, he has put in his time, labor and energy for creating that suit. So he can retain the suit till he is paid, as he has expended his time, energy, labor and expenses in cutting and stitching the suit. So friends, here we will see general lien is towards all goods and services in general, whereas particular lien is only against the work that has been undertaken. Bankers may, in the absence of an agreement to the contrary, retain the security for a general balance of accounts, any goods and securities billed to him. This right to retain the goods is known as a general lien. So by default, the banker can use this general lien goods for recovering the dues on the basis of his role as a creditor. Let's see more about a banker's general lien. The banker's general lien confers upon him the right to securities, etc., for the general balance due by their owner to the banker. It extends to all securities placed in his hand as a banker by his customer, which are not specifically appropriated. There are no specific instructions that such goods and services will be used for a specific purpose only. A banker can draw on them to liquidate a general balance due from the customer, either at the time when the securities are deposited or any subsequent time while they lawfully remain in his hands. So this lawful remaining in the banker's hand is very important. It has to be the property of the customer and not anybody else's. The right extends even to goods unless there is a contract, express or implied, inconsistent with the lien. Thus, it is a right to retain goods not only for the debt incurred but also for the general balance owing by the owner of the goods to the person exercising the right of lien. There are several factors with regard to a right of lien. Let's see what are they. Lien is an implied pledge. Even without executing any pledge documents, a lien has the capacity of creating an implied pledge. A general lien to apply only in the absence of express contract to the contrary. If there is any express contract, then the general lien may not be applicable, otherwise a general lien will be applicable. Lien can be enforced if mutual demand exists between the banker and the customer. No agreement for creation of lien is necessary. You don't execute any agreements. It's a basic right of a banker. The moment a banker-customer relationship is established, whether it's a debtor-creditor or creditor-debtor, by default, the right of general lien is conferred on the banker. Hence, no agreement for creation of lien is necessary. A banker has no lien on safe custody deposits because that is not kept for the purpose of balances, increasing or decreasing the balances. That is meant for specific safety. Hence, lien cannot be exercised on safe deposits, safe custody deposits. No liens on bills of exchange or the other documents entrusted for special purposes. Once the purpose is accomplished, it has to be returned back to the customer. You cannot use that as for general lien purpose. Banker's lien is not available against FDR in joint names. Only in the same capacity, you cannot have a right of lien for using joint money for appropriating single account. Not possible. Lien attaches to bonds and coupons deposited for collections. So that is possible. No lien on money deposited for a specific purpose. So once the purpose is accomplished, the goods has to be returned back. Lien on securities allowed to remain in banker's hand after repayment of loan secured. So once the loan amount is repaid, how can you retain the goods? You have to, the banker has to immediately return back the goods. You cannot say, no, I am going to hold it as general lien. No lien on documents or valuables left in the banker's hand inadvertently. That is no purpose, by mistake or whatever reason, the documents or something, some goods are left. Cannot exercise general lien on that. Credit and the liability must be in the same right. As we seen in the previous slide, it has to be of the same constitution. Cannot use a joint account balance for a single account. Banker's lien and the Limitation Act. No lien for the amounts not due. No lien in respect of trust account. What do you mean by lien as an implied pledge? The ordinary right of lien is to retain possession and does not imply a power to sell. The banker's general lien is regarded as an implied pledge, and being a pledge, the banker can sell the assets pledged in case of default in repayment by the customer. That is a power of pledge. This right can be exercised only after proper notice has been given to the customer. So even for exercising such right of selling off the pledged or the have pledged implied pledge goods, a proper notice has to be given as soon as there is a default in case of repayment. So the banker generally is regarded as an implied pledge, and being a pledge, the banker can sell the assets pledged in case of default in repayment by the customer, but for that purpose you have to give a proper notice. Only after that the selling off can happen. Generally, and to apply in the absence of express contract to the contrary. If there is some other terms, then a general lien may not be applied. So, where a customer has separate account in a bank, for example, a cash credit and other accounts, cash credit is basically a loan account, and the bank credited all the proceeds of the fixed deposit in the cash credit account, the balance due to the bank can be adjusted by appropriating the amount lying in a separate account in the exercise of a general lien. Because the customer has separate accounts in a bank, which means in the same capacity, so a right of general lien can be easily applied. Lien can be enforced if a mutual demand exists between a banker and a customer. A mutual demand, both of them agree for exercising a general lien. Two rights flow out of the relationship of the debtor and creditor. Debtor and a creditor means bank is a debtor, means accepted deposit from the customer, and customer is a creditor. The first right is the right of the customer to demand repayment of the amounts due to him when he desires, and number two, the right of the bank to appropriate the monies and securities of the customer coming into his possession. So the second right is very important from the banker's point of view, the right of the bank to appropriate the monies as well as the securities of the customer coming into his possession. In firm Jai Kishan Das Jindaram versus Central Bank of India, two partnership firms with same set of partners had two separate accounts with the bank. Two separate accounts. Bank is entitled to appropriate monies belonging to a firm for payment of the overdraft of another firm. Why? Because two separate firms are involved, they were not separate legal entities and cannot be distinguished from the members who compose them. So this is a very important judgment wherein bank is entitled to appropriate the monies belonging to the firm for payment of overdraft of another firm, because two separate firms are involved, they were not separate legal entities and cannot be distinguished from members who compose them. No agreement for creation of lien necessary. Very, very important statement. Most of the rights are conferred by way of an agreement, but general lien comes by default the moment any sort of relationship is entered between a banker and a customer. Under Indian law, such an agreement is implied. The reason there is no agreement required means, under Indian law, it is implied by the terms of Section 171 of Indian Contract Act 1872, so long as the same is not expressly excluded. So by default means it is implied under Section 171 of Indian Contract Act that you don't require an agreement for creation of a general lien. Banker has no lien on safe custody deposits. Safe custody articles are those that are left with the banker for a specific purpose. The main reason is safety. These are not subject to banker's lien, and a contract to the contrary is implied. So a banker cannot touch the safe custody articles for appropriating them, selling them, and making use of whatever proceeds for recovery of the loan amount. In Bank of America versus Cohen, it was held that where documents had been originally delivered by a customer to a bank for safe custody, and the customer subsequently became a party to a void agreement purporting to change them, The banker did not have any lien over these documents. So we have a solid backing from this court case. No lien on bills of exchange or other documents entrusted for specific purpose. On the dishonor of a documentary bill, the bank is not entitled to apply the security accompanying the bill to any other debt due from the customer for whom the bank discounted the bill. Bill's business is a separate business. Here you cannot have a right of lien on such security backing those documents. Vijay Kumar versus Julander Bodybuilders and others. It was held that where the fixed deposit receipts have been deposited with the bank as security, here the issue is of fixed deposits deposited with the bank as security for the guarantee issued by the bank. So a guarantee is issued on the basis of some fixed deposit deposited with the bank. It amounts to a particular lien. So this fixed deposits is specifically meant for the guarantee purpose. Hence it is a particular lien for the bank guarantee as a result of the express contract between the banker and the customer, and the bank has no general lien against such FDR. A fantastic example of what a particular lien is. A specific purpose, that is a guarantee. To cover the guarantee, to back the guarantee, to secure the guarantee, the fixed deposit receipts are deposited. And hence such deposit of fixed deposit receipts will amount to a particular lien and not a general lien, as decided in Vijay Kumar versus Julander Bodybuilders and others. Banker's lien is not available against FDR in joint names. A single account and a joint account, both are separate. The action of keeping lien on FDR is a sort of suo motu act exercised by the bank without giving notice to the applicant. Such an act is unilateral and high-handed. This was decided in a famous case. Lien attaches to bonds and coupons deposited for collection. What does that mean? If bonds are deposited with a banker who is authorized to cut off the coupons and collect them, the lien attaches to the bonds as well as the coupons because they come into his hands as a collecting banker. So when we say lien attached to bonds and coupons, the moment they are sent for collection, it comes into the hands as a collecting banker. But if the bonds are deposited merely for safe custody and the customer cuts off the coupon and hands them to the banker for collection, the lien can be expressed only on the coupons and the proceeds which comes into his hands as a collecting banker and not otherwise. No lien on money deposited for a specific purpose. Whenever there is a specific purpose, how can a lien be exercised? A banker has no right of lien in respect of money deposited by a customer or a credit balance earmarked by a customer for a specific purpose. However, the lien could be exercised if the banker had no express or implied notice of the purpose of the deposit. If the banker is not aware about such express purpose, then the banker may get a right of general lien. Lien on security is allowed to remain in the banker's hand after repayment of loan secured. Once the loan is repaid, the banker has no right to retain whatever security deposit for securing the loan. If the securities deposited as collateral are left in the hands of a banker after the loan secured is cleared, the securities become subject to a general lien. As a customer, by leaving them, is supposed to have redeposited them. Hence, the moment the loan is clear, the customer is supposed to take back the securities offered for securing the loan. On the other hand, if upon the sale of securities deposited for securing an advance, there is a surplus remaining, the banker may have a right to set off such surplus against other sums due from the customers on general account. So this is a special right for the customer, especially towards those securities that are deposited for the purpose of collaterals, creating collateral security. No lien on documents or valuables left in the banker's hands inadvertently. No lien can arise in respect of documents or valuables left inadvertently with the banker. The banker will not get lien if he knows at the time of deposit of securities or the valuables that they were not the property of his customer. How can you deposit somebody else's property and the banker can claim the right of lien? Not possible in such cases. So the banker could enforce his lien against the true owner. Please note, against the true owner, and if the true owner has given his consent or was aware that the securities were deposited with the banker. Only in such scenario the banker will be able to exercise a lien. Credit and the liability must be in the same right. No lien arises on the current account balance or the deposit account of a partner in respect of a due form from firm. A partner's account is separate, a firm's account is separate. A partner's account is a personal account, whereas a firm account belongs to all the partners. So a single partner's account cannot be used for a firm's account. As the credit on one hand and the liability on the other hand does not exist in the same right. So that is the correct way of saying the credit and the liability must exist in the same right. A banker cannot set off any credit balance of a partnership account against money due from one or more of its partners. That would be serious misappropriation. You cannot use a firm's money for setting off balances of individual partners. Those are personal accounts. Or more of its partners in the individual account. A firm account cannot be used for settling individual accounts of the partners. Bankers' Lien and the Limitation Act, what does it say? The effect of the Limitation Act is only to bar the remedy and not to discharge the debt. It may fail in the court of law, but that does not extinguish the debt. That is very important. Consequently, it does not affect the property over which the banker has a lien. So in spite of that, even in case of a time bar debt, the banker has a right to exercise a general lien. No lien for the amounts not due. No lien arises until the due date in respect of an advance of a specific amount made for a definite period, as there is no debt owing till then. Only when the due date happens, only when the installment is due, then only the recovery procedure starts, if at all the customer fails in repaying such installments on the due date. If the customer fails to deposit the installment or due date, then the banker will try to find out other means, and one of them is the lien method. No lien in respect of trust accounts. The banker has no right of lien in respect of a separate account maintained by a customer which is known to the banker as a trust account. However, if the banker has no knowledge and it has not received during the currency of the account any notice of the trust, character of the funds, the lien can be exercised. If the banker is aware, it cannot exercise. If the banker is not aware, it has no knowledge and it has not received during the currency of the account any notice of the trust, character of the funds, then the lien can be exercised. The banker has to solidly prove about its ignorance. Mere knowledge derived from the customer's position that he is likely to deal with the monies of his clients and others will exclude the lien. So, mere knowledge derived from the customer's accounts or customer's position that he is likely to deal with the monies of his clients and others will not exclude the lien. This is very important. Mere knowledge derived from customer's position. What knowledge is? That he is likely to deal with the monies of his clients and others will not exclude the lien.